Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
It's B-Maz and Beamer.
This is Ed McMahon along with Doc Severinsen and the NBC Orchestra inviting you to join Johnny and his guests, Buddy Hackett, John Lithgow, and another segment of Moron Movies. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's
Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer.
You know, the song starts playing. I don't even know it.
No?
Why would I? I'm 32 years old.
Yeah. I just don't. Sometimes I get like caught down that rabbit hole on YouTube of old Johnny Carson interviews. You know, some, you know, good acts in the 70s and 80s. Watched one with him interviewing Ed Sullivan right before he passed away. I sometimes enjoy, I have to be in the mood for stuff like that, but sometimes I enjoy watching those old interviews.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. What's your favorite moron movie?
You know, I missed that segment, Brian. I'll have to check that out.
Sounds appealing to me.
Yeah, moron movies, yeah. Seems like movies that would probably be on a list of movies I like.
If you're wondering why there's two voices on this show, more but one day only, Joe Beamer is here joining me, and Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer, back together again, the dynamic duo.
That's right, finally.
But it's pretty cool to have you, Joe, back. And then, what, like one day next week?
Yeah, the next Wednesday we'll be together. So.
Oh, next Wednesday is going to be a heck of a show because you know it's coming.
Yeah, I sure do.
I can't wait for that. But in the meantime, we're talking about an event that gets kicked off and happening this weekend. The National Comedy Center in Jamestown. If you haven't been, pretty cool time. They're presenting Carson Tonight, Johnny's Comedy and Variety Acts live on stage. Comedy and variety, a tribute to Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. It's happening tomorrow at the Reglana Center for the Arts in Jamestown, right by the National Comedy Center. It marks the official opening of a new exhibit, Johnny Carson, the Immersive Experiment. Experiment. That's, I'm thinking of Hendrix, not Carson. Well, here with us is Pat Hazel, who is going to be hosting that event tomorrow night. Hey, Pat, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you, guys. I like waking up to that Tonight Show music. You know,
so
I know it didn't mean much to a 32-year-old I just heard, but you would have been 2 years old and still would have been on the air, right? So maybe in your crib you heard it.
Maybe I did, but I'm wondering where that legacy is as we stand right now. You know, Johnny Carson, so beloved, and whenever I hear people talk about him, Pat, it's like in the same way that people talk about like Walter Cronkite or a past president, right? Like he had that kind of stature. And how does that carry over?
Well, I think that's what the National Comedy Center is doing with this exhibit, which is an extraordinary introduction to people who didn't understand, who didn't go to bed each night after the news with this comfort food of Johnny having a funny monologue, having these great guests, having this big band sound. You know, it was the gold standard for late night talk show hosts, right? Everybody from Letterman on that you see is essentially wanting to be Johnny Carson. And he was amazing. Like he was a witty guy. He was a great interview, but he launched careers because if you were seen on there when there was only three television channels, right, that you got that borrowed equity of As Seen on TV or As Seen on The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson approved. That meant clubs and corporate dates and Vegas and sitcoms, and all of those things were well before there was all this cable real estate to watch. And, you know, there was nobody looking at their phone. They were dialing in at night at a specific time for entertainment. And Johnny was really the top of that mountain. And, you know, everybody that I invited to do this show Saturday night, the live performers, master magician Lance Burton, ventriloquist Jay Johnson from Soap, the jugglers, the Passing Zone that were on America's Got Talent, every one of them credits Johnny for launching their career with a couple of appearances. The wild animal park woman, Joan Embry, did the show 70 or 80 times with different animals that Johnny would just have a heyday with, right? A marmoset on his head or elephant sticking his trunk between his legs or whatever, right? He would just go with the flow. And that's pretty hard to try to keep an interview going and having a wild animal, you know, climbing on your back or something of that nature. So, you know, he was a convivial host, but he was also a craftsman of amplifying the voices of normal people. I was on one time, and the woman before me on the show dressed up chickens in some outfits, and you know, incredibly dumb thing. And yet he lifted her up, like he made her a star for the night. And, you know, he'd do it with spelling bee champs, and he'd do it with any kind of crazy things. You see some of those early Drew Barrymore as a kid interviewed by Johnny. And, you know, he just really knew how to tee a guest up. And I think everybody that followed tried to have the toolkit that Johnny did, but he really just, I don't know, for some reason, he put everything he did into that moment on the show. He was fairly reclusive and shy guy, lived in Malibu and played tennis and drums and things from his house, but he would save all up, and every night he would just give it all to the audience. So what you will experience, it's a pretty short jaunt, I think, from Buffalo. It's less than 90 minutes, right? You know, the immersive experience they're creating there, they've got a hologram host of Jimmy Fallon talking about how powerful Johnny was. They've got clips, highlight reels, and there's some good solid laughs in those short movies they have. And then the people who are older are going to recognize the costumes from the sketches and the rainbow curtain that is, you know, was so iconic to Johnny.
Sorry, Pat. You talk about the careers he launched, and I mean, he played a big role in stand-up comedy. There was always a thing he wanted to get Johnny's approval for up-and-coming stand-up acts.
Yeah, you name, seriously, when I was a kid, I was watching Jerry Seinfeld on there. I was watching, you know, Gary Shandling, Joan Rivers. These people were literally being anointed by this guy. That is why NBC was even paying attention to Jerry by the time he had a sitcom, right? So there's definitely an evolution in most of those careers. And then the ones that were around, the people who, like if you look at Buddy Hackett or Don Rickles or something, you go on YouTube, it is hilarious to watch them make Johnny laugh. When Johnny really laughed and he would bust out and fall off the chair laughing, it was usually at one of his buddies, kind of rat packy, doing something that was, you know, outrageous. And that, you know, the Tonight Show one time was 90 minutes long and they were smoking and drinking on the show. You know, it was like being able to witness a cocktail party with grownups, you know, and they kind of just cut loose.
Well, that's... I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, Pat, I'm wondering what you think about the evolution of the show. So, you know, Johnny Carson ends, and you can't smoke on TV anymore, right? And then, you know, you go on, and Letterman was behind Johnny for a while, started his own show. When I was growing up, you had Leno. I watched Jay Leno, and then I loved Conan after Leno. And then now you have, I gotta say, I don't really watch late night TV anymore. It does not appeal to me at all. Maybe it's the other options that are out there. Maybe it's just, I don't know. It seems to resemble cable news more than it does the stuff I watched growing up.
Right. Well, one of the things is when you were growing up, and I don't know exactly when the turn was, but you know, with YouTube, if somebody's on The Tonight Show and you don't want to stay up, you watch it tomorrow morning. You just type their name in and there it is. And you don't have to watch the other fat around it. You know, it's kind of like
buying a single instead of buying an album. There was a time to get a song, you had to buy the whole record. You know, this is before you could go on iTunes and just handpick your programming, right? So the late night in the Johnny and even the Letterman era was something where college kids, other people, like, this is our time. Late night is our time to you know, carouse and have fun or whatever. I think now every station has a late night show. Everyone has their own personality, and you can kind of dial into who they are. Jimmy Fallon is a host of house parties and, you know, karaoke and fun. You know, like, each of them has a thing they do, right? Colbert does a thing. But it all points back to Johnny because all of those people watched him growing up. They all wanted to be in that seat. And, you know, some of them are better than others at different things. But, you know, the format, it's like you don't have to watch the late show. You certainly don't have to watch the late, late show, right? It used to be, I don't know if you ever heard of Tom Schneider, but this crazy guy was on in the middle of the night when I was a kid, you know, and he'd take whatever airtime he could get. So anyway, you know, literally you were waiting for the news to get over so that you could be entertained. And that's where Johnny sat. You know, his monologue was always a breath of fresh air. He didn't get political. He didn't get, you know, he kind of just played it down the middle. He was objective about, you know, making fun of everybody.
Pat, to Brian's point, you know, how do you think we evolved to what late night is now? Like you said, people couldn't wait for the news to be over to watch Johnny. Now, you know, Colbert is an extension of the news. Stephen Colbert could not have done a night show in 1993. How do you think we evolved to the content that we see on late night today compared to Johnny Carson or even David Letterman?
Yeah, I think part of it is the amount we needed to consume, right? We start filling these channels. And there was a moment, you know, when Fox entered that game, and that would include Joan Rivers and Arsenio, right? That was the beginning of spreading wide, you know? So suddenly they were tapping into Chevy Chase and Paula Poundstone, and then Greg Kinnear had Talk Soup. And, like, everybody was, you know, trying to build a personality brand out of that sense of what late night had, right? And other things disappear. Like, when I was a kid, Saturday morning television was a thing, right? And you there was a big block of that. But now there's cartoon channels, and there's 24-hour news in there. So it's kind of like, you know, a buffet gone wrong, you know, where you can't eat that much stuff. You can't consume that much news. And we did, over the last several years, see that happen, where people would watch the same channel all day and the same recycle with a new head telling you the story, right? I think that's why I would encourage you guys and anybody around you there that wants to get a taste of it, that, you know what they do over at the National Comedy Center. It's high-tech, super, you know, archival, fun, interactive stuff. And now they're giving that treatment to a person like Johnny, who not only has the material, but he has it in a form that we like it. It's visual, right? It's a video. They're projecting on multi-screens in this theater section that they have. And it's not like a museum where it's paper behind glass, you know? So it's pretty fun. I mean, I went in, I haven't really, my full experience is going to be Saturday in the daytime when there's a ribbon cutting and stuff. But I went in for a photo shoot yesterday, and I was able to sit in there and watch, you know, just great highlight things of interactive guest stuff. And it's just, I guess I'm a slightly different era than you, but man, that was, to be a comedian and get on Johnny's show and to get the okay symbol from him, that's like an Olympic medalist. You know, like, you get to go to the Olympics. It's only every so often you could go. If you get there in your fourth place, nobody remembers you. You get no endorsement deal, right? You needed to get a medal. And that was the equivalent for a comic, was Johnny tapping you on the shoulder or inviting you back on the show. And I, you know, comedians like Stephen Wright and other folks, you know, that guy came out and did 7 or 8 minutes and leveled Johnny. And a month later he was on, and then 6 months later he was on, and next year he was on. You know, he kept people relevant and in front of the camera. And he was very generous about it. When he liked something, he really, really liked it, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Pat.
It was really fun. And it was fun watching him do even crazy sketches like Karnak the Magnificent and, you know, these various things, because they just kind of work a different side. And I think now the late night hosts, in many cases, they have one thing, as you said, they're political, or they're karaoke carpool, or they're something, they kind of have their hook, and you know, they're not as well versed across the board.
Pat, I'm wondering, before we let you go here, is there someone in the comedy world right now, if you had to pick somebody, and it doesn't have to be one of the late night hosts, but is there somebody that you watch that is most like Johnny Carson, or is would you say like this is the modern day equivalent?
That's interesting. I mean, there have been times where I thought, you know, I'd see like bursts of things from somebody like a John Mulaney, or I'd see somebody where I go, okay, that's kind of a classic button down guy, but he's got a, you know, sense of humor that's kind of witty or whatever. But I don't think anybody really has the skill set that Johnny had. But there are people that I see that surprise me that come along. Nate Bargatze's a young guy out of Tennessee that is an offbeat, very folksy storyteller. And when he gets you going down a, I don't know if you've ever seen this guy who tells a story about a dead horse or whatever, and it's like it sneaks up on you, and then it makes you laugh, and then you're like, I think this really happened to this dude, you know? I like those kinds of things more than sort of old school Catskill one-liner comics. I like a little dose of reality in my comedy. But what I'm excited about Saturday night and is that these live acts are the best in their genre. So we've got a couple of stand-up comics, Kathy Ladman and Don Reed, and we've got, you know, all of these best magician, best juggler, best ventriloquist, you know, doing, really just saluting the fact that Johnny gave them a booster rocket behind their career that really lasted their entire life. And it's kind of like coming to a cast and crew party where we're going to hear the inside stories of what it was like. So, you know, that's why we all came, and it's triple bonus that we get to experience the museum and see all the other archives. It's pretty amazing that Jamestown is holding the Lucille Ball archives, the Smothers Brothers archives, Carl Reiner's archive, all of George Carlin's written material is in there. You know, it's the Cooperstown of comedy, or the, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame of comedy. And it's, you know, it's spitting distance for people out of Buffalo.
Yeah, it's a great resource. It's right down there. I urge everyone to go and check it out. Pat, before we let you go, the question I'm sure you get all the time, but I'm gonna ask it. You wrote on the best show that ever aired on television, Seinfeld. What made Seinfeld one of the greatest sitcoms of all time? And do you think it can ever be repeated?
That's good question. I don't think it could be repeated in the way it came together, but I guess I would identify it as being of its time. Prior to Seinfeld, almost everything was about some family, right? The core of, the Cosby Show, or the, you know, all of those shows had parents and kids. And this was, when I say of its time, our friends became our family. We lived in places where we began to commune together and hang out together. And, you know, we were away from our parents. And I think that sort of launched all of the things that the friends and things that followed it all began to get rid of the parents, you know, and even the Ellen Show, wherever they became kind of community ensembles. But the casting was great. The writing was great. You know, there was just so much, but it was an unlikely hero in that when we started, we did not get a primetime sitcom. We got money for four variety specials or something that they took out of, I don't know what they would call it at that time, like Circus of the Stars money or something. And Jerry got to make four specials, and then they didn't know when they were going to go on. They would randomly air, then the Gulf War would come and they'd move it to another night. And so it really was not an heir apparent to anything great in the very beginning of it, but it found its audience and it stayed consistent with its voice. And because of Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld's, you know, persistence to do it a certain way, it's amazing now that it's on Netflix and you can see any episode anytime you want. And I think it'd be hard to unseat for being of that era, but something will come along and always does. And, you know, we'll insatiably take it in and then, you know, we'll move on. But I mean, I think that's whoever invents the new thing is going to tap into something that is more relevant to us, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, well, Pat, appreciate the time, and you can take the credit. Larry David, Jerry, they're not listening to us.
That's
so,
right.
You know.
Oh, yeah, I wrote it all. Yeah, that's right. No, you know what? I had a great time. I wrote in the sidecar of their success, and I did I was the studio audience warm-up, so I was the person out facing the audience answering the dumbest questions ever asked. Like, we would be there, and somebody would say, "Is this a repeat?" I go, "Why would we shoot it a second time? Like, what are you talking about?"
You know? Well, no one knows how it works. Hey, Pat. Well, thank you, and good luck this weekend. Hope there's a great crowd for you. He's hosting Carson tonight. Johnny's Comedy Variety Acts Live happens tomorrow out in Jamestown, and it's all part of the ribbon cutting for the Johnny Carson exhibit at the National Comedy Center at Jamestown, which is, hey, you know, pretty good. So I don't know. What do you look at? What makes you laugh? What's your late night comedy? You can let us know. 803-0930 to join myself and Joe Beamer here on WBEN. What do you have a favorite Carson moment, or is there somebody in the in between, between Carson and now, who has really made you kind of look, laugh, and enjoy it, keeps you coming back for more. Let us know, 803-0930 here on WBEN.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It's BMAS and Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Okay, it is, if you like this, you'll hate the prize. No, well, maybe that's not true. People have diverse music tastes.
I like the prize, and I like Mark Morrison.
This is kind of a show that you circle in the summer, and you can get some last chance tickets to go to Darien Lake this Sunday to see Willie Nelson and his Outlaw Music Festival. It's not just Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson, Chris Stapleton, ZZ Top, Billy Strings, and more, all taking the stage at Darien Lake this Sunday. And you can win tickets if you're caller number four. We have two pairs of tickets to give away.
That's
callers
right.
Number four and five into 202-9236. That's 202-9236, 202-WBEN. Callers 4 and 5 win a pair of tickets, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets on sale now. Last chance to win them before the show this Sunday.
You know, I didn't realize Willie Nelson was on this list, and I had been looking right at the sheet.
It's his.
Yes. Now that you've read it, I realize.
Willie Nelson sometimes plays, and he wears a U.S. soccer jersey.
Oh.
And it's a custom, like, Willie 420 soccer jersey that
nice.
He wears. And I'm just, like, over here, like, saying, hey, because, you know, you can't buy soccer jerseys, you know, the contract dispute or whatever with, you know, players. They haven't signed, like, a new agreement or something like that. You can't buy any, like, actual player soccer jersey. They won't let you.
But you can buy the Willie Nelson?
I can get a Willie Nelson 420 soccer jersey, but I can't get a Pulisic.
Worse for me, you know, Willie Nelson, something you talked about with Gina at 8:50, something I had been talking about the last 2 days, Woodstock 99. Now that documentary is out, and I watched it in one day, all three parts, and Willie Nelson was the first act of the Sunday when things started to really get out of control.
Yeah, well, they didn't have any food, bathrooms, shelter,
clean water.
Yeah, well, those things are good.
We talked to two people yesterday who were at Woodstock 99. Very interesting stories to hear from people who were there till the very end.
And that was going to be, I mean, that was going to be the Woodstock 50 that they were trying to put on the other year at Watkins Glen in 2019.
That's right.
I mean, that was the biggest, the acts that they quote unquote secured. That was going to be the biggest festival ever. And they had, I mean, it was set up like the same thing. They had no plans to, I mean, it was going to be a disaster, an even bigger one.
They hadn't learned their lesson.
Luckily, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
For those reasons. But anyways, if you missed our first segment, Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer, we're here back together again.
That's right.
Live. One night only.
Yeah.
just like Willie Nelson at Darien Lake, one night only.
That's right.
Now's your chance. But we were talking earlier with over in Jamestown, National Comedy Center, they're opening up a Johnny Carson display, and they're having a big show out there tomorrow night with some of Carson's acts live. Like, what is, you know, tell me about Johnny Carson. Tell me about who is the new Johnny Carson replacement. Has anyone come close? Has Late Night come close to Johnny Carson? And Joe, you're shaking your head. No.
No, I don't think today is the closest. I think after Johnny left, I think Letterman was the more Johnny Carson-like than Leno. I think that show on CBS became the more watched show just because Letterman and Carson were so close, and he had gotten a start on NBC. But now I don't think, like I said to Pat, I don't think Colbert or Fallon or Kimmel could have been the successor in 93. I think these have evolved to different type of shows than what it was in the 70s and 80s.
And I would say I have no idea because I'm 32 years old and I have no idea what Johnny Carson was like. I didn't watch, I was a baby when he went off the air and signed off for the last time. So I don't have the comparison. So what about you?
Watch some of those videos.
Ken. In Depew, you're on WBEN. Did you watch Carson, Ken?
Hi, guys. Yeah. Growing up, I stayed up later than I should just to catch the monologue and really enjoyed it. I kind of didn't get all the humor when as a kid, but did appreciate some of the jabs he was giving his staff, and it was funny. It was really contagious when he got rolling. And some of the offside comments and stuff. So, yeah, good memories. But it's funny you were talking about comedy today because I was just talking to my girlfriend last night about it seemed like the best comedians you ever had on were the ones that were not so much straightaway joke tellers, but the whole behavior. They'd come on and do their act. And the funniest ones that went over that, to me were just off the wall. Their whole demeanor and personality. You just didn't know what to make of them, and some of them were kind of shocking for the time, but that seemed to be the ones that people remembered.
Yeah, well, hey Ken, thanks for the call. Yeah.
Sure.
You know, thinking about some of the shows in the past, what did you watch growing up, if any, late night TV?
Well, I think it's funny. Ken said, he stayed up later than you should to watch late night television. Usually, when I was younger, and I would stay up late, that's because the Sabres were on the West Coast or something. It wasn't staying up late to watch late night television. But there were times, of Friday nights when I could stay up late. I watched Letterman. I always liked, I always liked Letterman's monologue. And I always liked to see stand-ups. And Letterman on Fridays would have a stand-up on. I always enjoyed that.
I remember sometimes when I was real little, I'd have to, my mom would have to take me with her into work. And it was like super early in the morning. The Leno replay would be on. Like that was the thing on TV at like, 3 or, whatever time I wake up now. So that was on. But then I remember when I got a little older, I would stay up to watch late night TV. I always I loved it. I was more of a Jay Leno person, but that was more in the sense of when I got the TV in the room, it didn't have a clicker. And if I stayed up late, I wanted to watch Conan.
Right.
So I'm in bed and it's just going to be on the channel. Like the 70s or something like that. So I'd watch Jay Leno, which I liked it. I was more Leno than Letterman when I was, 13, 14, 15. That's, about the sweet spot of when they were on. And I liked Leno. He did the headlines bit. That was
funny. I did like that, yeah.
The jaywalking bit. That was pretty funny. And then, you know, the show itself, whatever.
Conan was great.
Conan was my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, he would have bands on that I wanted to see. I mean, I would tape with the VCR Conan sometimes to see the band. I remember one time he had like the White Stripes on for an entire week straight. And I was like, oh, that's this cool guy, I got to stay up to watch Conan for a week to, you know, watch the band. He had the bits that were just so stupid, it was funny, which is my kind of thing.
Yeah.
Things that were going nowhere and then ended up being funny, that's my kind of thing. And that was the show that I really liked growing up watching late night TV.
Yeah, Conan was great. And I actually, the 9 months that he was the host of The Tonight Show, I watched almost religiously, because especially that summer, I would watch The Tonight Show almost every night.
So that's what I was going to think. I think the last time late night was big.
Yes.
Was in that like month-long period where it was Conan and Leno and The Tonight Show, and Conan had it, and they were going to kick him out after, you know, however many months, less than a year, right?
Yeah, 9 months.
He was on The Tonight Show, and they were going to kick him out and put Jay Leno back, which Jay Leno never left. He just, they did, like, bumped up his show
to 10 o'clock.
And then you had everyone else making fun of it.
He didn't want to miss a monologue. Like, if you were into
Letterman
that battle.
Was talking about that,
yes.
And then they both were talking about that, and that was the last time I think late night was really hot.
Yeah, I remember when Conan went on with Letterman, when this was all going on, and that was like one of the most watched late night shows since Carson, mm-hmm. And it might have even beaten that. It was that one episode where Letterman brought Conan on in the midst of all this. It was hilarious, obviously.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But after that, I don't think I was ever interested in late night again.
No. No.
I mean, that was it. And I'm trying to think of what it was, because I don't necessarily think it was the show itself that turned me off right away. Because when you think about that, okay, so they left, or Conan left, and then it was Jay Leno again. And I had watched Jay Leno before.
Right.
But then I just didn't really have a desire to. Letterman was always there, and, you know, I wasn't a Letterman watcher, but I had watched Letterman. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But I just never really watched it that much. Conan came back on a different station, and, you know, it was okay.
I never felt it was the same.
I used to like Kimmel used to have the singer for the Boston's as like his MC. His first episode when ABC got into late night, they served beer in the crowd, and someone puked all over the floor. And so they said, so really, after the first episode, it went downhill. How could you beat that? But he used to have good bands and everything like that. And, you know, then I stopped watching that too. And I'm wondering, was it the, as Pat mentioned, like the YouTube, if there's ever anything funny, you can just see it the next day. There's no reason to watch the show. I mean, is that really it?
Yeah. I mean, if anything I have watched of late night TV, Brian, I would say in the last 5-6 years, maybe even 10 years, is on YouTube. Like one of my favorite stand-ups is Mark Normand. He goes on Fallon every now and then. I watch it. Am I staying up for it? No. It's on YouTube the next day. I'll watch his 8-minute set on YouTube, and there, that's all I need to see.
Yeah, I'm definitely not staying up for anything now, but even when I, you know, was working like a normal schedule and would be up at the time.
Yeah, no.
I'm not sitting around watching the late night shows. I don't know, that just became kind of, there's only a few times, like Norm MacDonald would go on. If I heard Norm MacDonald was on a show, I might tune in and watch the show.
Norm MacDonald on Conan was always hilarious.
He's on anywhere.
Yeah.
He was just he was one of my favorite comedians. So if I heard he was on somewhere, I might tune in. But, you know, eventually, I think it's the internet, really. When was the last time? I was probably 18 the last time I taped a band on a late night show.
Oh, yeah.
And then ever since then, so that would have been about 2008. So like 2009, 2010, and all of a sudden you can just watch all this on YouTube, and I don't have to go through the process of setting up the VCR and going back and watching it and scrubbing through the show and doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat's probably right. That was probably it for me. The internet killed the late night star for me.
And you know, yeah, for me, it was late night would be, if I saw a good guest was on, you know, if I heard about a guest would be on, I might tape it. I might before YouTube. But I do also think the content of what's on the shows now, Brian, when I'm watching a Bills game and they say, hey, don't miss Colbert this week. He's Liz Warren and Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm sorry. That's not Jerry Seinfeld and Jim Norton. You know what I mean?
That is it. Because when people say, it's too political, I get what you mean. The tone is different, and it is more like a cable news station than it ever has been before with the way it's political. But, and again, this is not Carson. I didn't watch Carson. I wasn't around for Carson. But the late night shows have always been political of nature. They're always poking fun at whoever the president is, of whoever.
Recent events.
Yeah. Yes. It's topical. The monologue is topical. Whatever's in the day's news. So it's always been political in nature, but it has reached that new level. And I think that's it. Where, a president on one of the shows was not unheard of and something that people would tune in for.
Right.
But when I see the teaser coming up this week, Chuck Schumer on, The Tonight Show, it's like a double thing of what is going on. Because on one hand, it's like, why would the Tonight Show, and I've talked to Chuck Schumer, I've covered a lot of Chuck Schumer events, and I will say this. And I haven't done so recently since he's become majority leader. But in following Chuck Schumer along, for a politician, Chuck Schumer is pretty funny. The bar there is very low.
Right, I was going to say.
For a politician, he's one of the more entertaining ones that you can get. For the Tonight Show? I mean, is that where we're... I wouldn't put him on the Tonight Show. So right. From the Tonight Show perspective, it's, this is what we could get? And then from like the politician perspective too, it's like this is where we're spending our Tuesday afternoons now. It's like doubly just kind of like wants you to rip your hair out.
I was just about to say we flew Schumer out to L.A., but the Tonight Show's in New York, so that wouldn't have worked.
It's like it's really from the Tonight Show, and it's not even that. Like so Schumer and Pelosi are prominent,
right?
But they'll have just like any old Congressperson on.
Yeah, Liz Warren.
I'm like, this is the Tonight Show. It's not C-SPAN.
Right.
There's a reason why you used to do ratings. It's because, Carson would put on the stupid hat and read your fortune. I mean, he wasn't talking to, whoever the heck was over in Washington. I mean, that's not comedy. It's not supposed to be.
I would have been very impressed if one of us could have pulled a congressperson from the 80s, but I have no idea.
Jack, you're on WBEN. All right. What do you think? First question to you, Jack. Did you watch Carson? What was Carson like to you?
Oh, I love Carson. And to this day, I watch stuff on YouTube and go back to it. You got to see some of the comedic acts that first came on board, like Louis Anderson, his first time at Tonight Show, knocked down, laughed your socks off. Stephen Wright, Don Rickles, you name it. I mean, everybody was on Carson, and it got him into stardom. And I love Carson. I mean, I was glad I was a young man in the 60s to be able to stay up late and watch it. And he was something to watch. He was a good interviewer, and he had, it was all clean acts too. You got to remember. I mean, even though Richard Pryor would be on, obviously you couldn't swear on TV.
Right, network television.
Yeah.
And, Jack, it's funny you bring up Don Rickles because he would just go right down the couch. And his crowd work is amazing. And that's usually how I get on watching old Johnny Carson, because I'll start watching Don Rickles doing crowd work from a set. And then every time on one of the related videos is something from Carson. And you're right. I mean, even today, it's still really funny.
Well, it's great, too, is I used to love when Carson went on vacation and Rickles was the guest host for the week. And, I mean, just you want to laugh? You just laughed at his whole routine. I mean, great stuff. But anybody who doesn't know Carson, go on YouTube and look up some stuff. There was one I just watched the other day. I don't know if you guys remember Randall Tex Cobb. He fought Larry Holmes and lost 15 rounds. never got knocked down, but what a funny interview he was.
Well, hey, Jack, I'll have to watch some of this, and you're saying this, and it's reminding me, and thanks for the call. I have seen Carson. I mean, everyone's seen Carson, but I have watched Johnny Carson, not back when he was on, obviously, not, going and searching it out and watching like an episode on YouTube, but I have watched Carson because I've probably seen, now that I think about it, over 100 times the time 30-minute by this Johnny Carson VHS or DVD set with the same, acts repeated over and over and over again. And I probably laughed, and there's a reason why I watched it 100 times, right?
To be fair, I've never watched a full episode on YouTube, but yeah, I forgot about the time life. Like that time Johnny Carson talked to Frank Sinatra, and they play, 30 seconds of it. Time Life brings you a 30 disc collection.
Yeah, I would watch the Carson one. That would happen all the time. Someone's saying Pelosi is old enough to have been in concert. Pelosi is old enough to have listened to the fireside chat. So yeah, Carson is well within that range if he was still on when I was alive very early on.
But, I've talked about this from time to time, Brian, and what late night television is now. Do you think if something like Carson came back, people would watch it? Or is the late-night television what we might complain about, but what a majority of people who are watching TV want?
Yeah, I don't think people watch it. I think it's mostly because of the internet thing. Like, I just don't think that format of show is, I don't know, why would I? Yep. None of the interviews are really entertaining. Like, there's nothing outrageously funny. There's no substance. You're not learning anything. Like, right. No one's announcing anything important on one of these shows. Like, there's no, and, it's inconsequential. It's, that is a breath of fresh air, but it's not, like, there's nothing really drawing you to that. And it is kind of the, it's the way we look at politics now, too, right? Where it's every politician now has to be seemingly entertaining enough to justify him being on TV.
Right.
And that's ruined politics. The way that TV and entertainment and politics have collided over the last decade, especially since the internet. And I just don't know if you bring back that. Like, we mentioned Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald is an acquired taste. If I just sat somebody and not watched like the 5-minute hilarious clip that he has, but sat someone to watch like one of his stand-up specials or whatever, I mean, it's one of my favorite things in the world. I die laughing. The majority of people are watching him saying, "What is this?" I'm not laughing. Like, this isn't funny. What is going on here?
Yeah.
So I just don't know if it works the same way. And, frankly, one of the reasons Carson probably worked is how many channels were there? Like, how many options were there? There were really...
Three.
There wasn't that many.
When he first came on?
It being the funniest thing available was way easier when there's only, in the totality of the day, 20 other shows to compete against.
And you're right. It is. We watched it because, we would watch TV back then because we knew the funny part was coming up or the entertaining part's coming up. Now, we just want it now. Like you said, I can go to YouTube and get that funny clip now. I don't need to sit through all the BS. I can get that funny clip right now. Brian, before we get out of here, though, I do have to say congratulations to you and the newsroom on the National Morrow Award. So congratulations. I wanted to make sure I got that in before we went to break.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll take my victory lap as
good.
We get off.
Good. Yes.
All right. We'll be right back here. No, we won't.
No, I'll be cheering on the second best team in baseball, and then I'll be back on Wednesday.
You'll be back Wednesday. I can't wait for Wednesday. It's going to be my favorite show of the year.
All right.
And I'll be back here on Monday. BMAS and Beamer on WBEN.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.